Hello, this is Tim Wright from St John's Church in Birkdale, and this is the talk from the 7th of May 2023, and we're in the third of our series looking at the book of Nehemiah, and today we're in chapter 3, and the title of today's talk is Great Works and Their Beginnings. So thanks for joining us as we go through today's talk. And this week, as I say, we are continuing our series through the book of Nehemiah. And so far, in the last 2 weeks, we've been introduced to Nehemiah, who was a cupbearer to King Artaxerxes, and someone who had a very close relationship with God. The story is set essentially in Jerusalem, where a remnant of Israelites had returned 70 years earlier and rebuilt the temple, but the city walls and the gates were still in tatters. And without walls, the city remained vulnerable to attack. And people living in a city in those days without a solid wall remained defenceless and, quite honestly, humiliated. At least that's how they felt. And rebuilding the walls would signal that God would once again bless his people. And a solid wall and secure gates would give people that sense of security and community that they needed. And what we heard in the previous talks was that Nehemiah wept when he heard the news of the broken wall and the burned gates. And hearing this bad news, it became a call for Nehemiah, a challenge, if you like, to bring change that would eventually glorify God. We saw that he was the man for the hour. And it's no coincidence that he was placed perfectly where he was so that he could fulfill God's plan. And despite rebuilding these walls being such a huge task, he prayed and he fasted and he patiently sought God's guidance. Lessons, as Lucy explained, that are just as relevant to us today as we try to metaphorically build walls here at St John's and within the wider Birkdale community. We then looked about how Nehemiah went about preparing for the work ahead. He overcame fear. And he shared his concerns with King Artaxerxes after praying for God for guidance. And by sharing his fear with the king, he was sharing it with someone who could help him. And the king gave him access to teams of people who would help with the planning, who would help with the building materials, creating a safe environment within which he could work. And when Nehemiah arrived at Jerusalem, he carefully planned the work before sharing that plan with those that would help him fulfill it. And Roy last time shared with us that fear, and in Nehemiah's case, it was the fear of sharing his concerns with the king, who had previously prevented the rebuilding of Jerusalem, fear should not hold us back from using our skills in God's service. And that brings us to today, where we're going to look at chapter 3 and how the great work of rebuilding the walls began. But remember that Nehemiah had carefully planned the job. He'd built a team of people around him and he had set out the vision of what he wanted to achieve. There's no doubt, though, that it was a huge job because the wall was about 2.5 miles long, about 40 feet high, and the thickness would have averaged around 8 feet. So this is no garden wall. And there wasn't just one city gate either. There were at least 10. Well, if you've ever looked at chapter 3 before today, then your heart may have sunk a little. It is, without doubt, a linguistic obstacle course, with verse after verse containing unpronounceable names and places. And it'd be very easy just to skip past chapter 3 and move straight on to chapter 4. But we've been missing out on some important lessons on how we too can build for God. Because this chapter is just a very detailed account of the repair and rebuilding of the walls and the city gates. There are 10 gates and each has a different name. There's the sheep gate where priests would bring sheep through for sacrifice. And there's the fish gate, marking a place where the fish market was, to name just two of them. And in this chapter, Nehemiah takes us gate by gate, section by section along the wall, telling us who did what and where. So I'm going to read an extract from chapter 3, But the earlier and the later verses, the ones that I'm going to read, they're all very similar. A list of names and locations. So Nehemiah chapter 3, I'm going to read just 22 to 27. And the repairs next to him, and this is obviously the repairs of the wall, were made by the priests from the surrounding region. Beyond them, Benjamin and Hashub made repairs in front of their house. And next to them, Azariah, son of Messiah, the son of Ananiah, made repairs beside his house. Next to him, Binui, son of Henadad, repaired another section, from Azariah's house to the angle and the corner. And Palal, son of Uzai, worked opposite the angle and the tower projecting from the upper palace near the court of the guard. Next to him, Padiah, son of Parosh, and the temple servants living on the hill of Ophel, made repairs up to a point opposite the water gate toward the east and the projecting tower. Next to them, the men of Tekoa repaired another section from the great projecting tower to the wall of Ophel. Well, I hope you followed that. As I said, just a list of places in the wall, gates, and the people who were rebuilding them. Now, if you ever get to look at the printed version of this talk, I have included a little sketch, really, of the Jerusalem walls and the gates, and it just shows you the extent of the build and a list of all of those people involved in the different sections of the wall. So if you do get a chance to have a look at the printed version, which is either emailed out or on the website, then it's worth a quick look. So having read that extract from chapter 3, what is it that we can learn from this chapter and how is it relevant to us today? Well, I'm going to look at this very briefly this morning under four headings. And as we look at each of these headings, what I want us to do is to put ourselves into this story. So think of you in this story, but instead of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, let's think about what it is that we are trying to build here at St. John's and in Birkdale. We're trying to build a church that is vibrant and alive, where we're well led, we're well managed, and who knows, where we might even have more willing workers than we have jobs that need doing eventually. We're trying to build a church that reaches out into our community with the good news of Jesus, where we're growing spiritually and numerically. And we're trying to do this as part of a team with the other Birkdale churches. So as we go through these four headings, let's just think of ourselves building the walls of St. John's and Birkdale. The first heading I want to look at is teamwork and leadership. And the first thing to note in this chapter is that there is incredible clarity about who is doing what and where they are doing it. Nehemiah had created a plan where everyone knows what is expected of them. There's no ambiguity. Have you ever turned up to volunteer for something and everyone is running around like headless chickens with no clear plan of who's doing what? Well, this was not the case here. It was meticulously planned. Yesterday, we were privileged to watch the coronation and the thousands of people that were involved. That was meticulously planned. Nehemiah's leadership strength is also shown not only in his planning, but in bringing people in from outside the area to help as well. For example, there are teams from nearby communities such as Jericho and Tekoa. And you know, there is this impression of order and clarity and no one getting under anyone else's feet. The leadership is vital in getting the job done. But for Nehemiah as a leader to be successful, he needs followers. And in this chapter, we've got dozens and dozens of people willing to do great things for God and to follow the plan. We have people working side by side. There were 10 gates and at least 40 sections of the wall mentioned throughout the chapter. Excuse me. And the phrase that is repeated time and again is next to. The idea is that people were working next to each other in cooperation, but also focused on the task specifically given to them. No one did the whole wall, but everyone working side by side built their part of the project. And this chapter is an example of effective teamwork at its absolute best. Not only was it impeccably planned, but everyone also had someone next to them doing their bit, also offering support and encouragement. So how does this translate to us here at St. John's? Well, the first thing is that, like Nehemiah set out his plan, we all need to know what it is that we're here for. You know, what is the wall that we're trying to build? If you don't know, then take a look at our website where it says this. At St. John's, we aim to be a God-centered, relationship-driven and life-transforming church in Birkdale. We are a group of ordinary people who believe that church is a great place to make friends and experience God together. We are a family who believe that church should not only be welcoming, but also a place where lives are radically transformed. We strive to be a church where people feel at home, know that they matter, grow in their faith, and where they feel confident to invite others. That's the wall that we are building. We might not have Nehemiah leading us, or indeed a vicar right now, but our direction is clear. We do have strong leadership, and we know where we're going. But to build our wall, we need everyone to play their part. If we were to mirror chapter 3 and list all of the jobs that need doing and the names of those who are doing them here at St. John's, what would your name be against? It might be one thing. It might be several things. But if you're struggling to think exactly where you fit into this rebuilding of the wall, well, perhaps that's something for you to have a think about. The American evangelist D.L. Moody said these words, quite challenging words. A great many people have got a false idea about the church. They believe it is a place to rest in, to get into a nicely cushioned pew, contribute to the charities, listen to the minister, and do their share of keeping the church out of bankruptcy. The idea of work for them, actual work in the church, never enters their minds. Well, if you're a believer, then you should be working for God. Don't leave it to everyone else. Take your place in the team. And let's not be afraid of working with people outside of our own church. Nehemiah called on help from neighbouring towns, and we too can call on help from our neighbouring churches. How wonderful it would be if, together with St. Peter's, St. James's and the Methodist Church, we could work more together to build for Birkdale. So we need effective teamwork and leadership. And we're so lucky here at St. John's that we have great leadership and we have great teamwork. And so many people are playing their part in building our wall. The second heading is this, that everyone can offer something. You know, the second thing that struck me from this list of workers is that none of them were professional builders. They were people from all sorts of occupations and backgrounds. We've got goldsmiths, temple servants, priests, merchants, and even perfume makers. People with no experience of wall building were responding to the challenge. They'd all bought into the plan and decided that they were willing to play their part. They didn't opt out just because they weren't builders or carpenters. They all got stuck into the task with enthusiasm and commitment. And it was all voluntary, and they did it because they believed in the plan and they wanted it to succeed. If you've listened to our talks over the years, we've often been challenged that, you know, none of us is too young, none of us is too old or too inexperienced to get involved in working for God. We've all been given gifts that we can use, but we will also have gifts that we haven't yet used, or we might not even know what they are. None of the people building the wall were builders, but they all got stuck in. You might not think that you're qualified to do a certain job, but if God is calling you, then he will help you. And it may well be that you'd even pick up skills that you never knew you had. So the lesson so far is then that we need teamwork and we need leadership. We need to understand that everyone can offer something. And the third heading is that rebuilding often begins at home. The chapter here records that many parts of the wall were rebuilt by those people that lived right next to the part of the wall that they were rebuilding. And there are many reasons why asking people to build the bit in front of their own house is a good idea. They'd be motivated to build it quickly and properly, and since they were going to be looking at it every day, they would want it to look good. There wouldn't be time wasted travelling or commuting to work. You'd just step outside your front door and crack on with the wall. And also, that bit of the wall would defend their home should it be attacked, so they would really make sure that they did a great job of it. And if they needed extra help, the family living right there would be nearby to give a helping hand. And the lesson for us about rebuilding, often beginning at home, is that for us to be effective wall builders, then we need to get our own personal bit of the wall built properly. It's got to be on solid foundations. That means building our faith by prayer, by study, by fellowship, and making sure that we're living a true, authentic, faithful life every day of the week. When we do this, we're going to be better equipped and in the right mindset to tackle not only our part of the wall, but other parts of the wall as well. When you get a chance perhaps to read the whole chapter, you'll notice in the passage that when some people had finished the bit allocated to them, they went on to build other bits. And for us here in St. John's, that means we should be continuously looking to see what else we can do. Have you ever heard people respond to requests for help and their response sometimes is, oh well, I've already done my bit. Well, the lesson here is that we've never done our bit. It's a continuous journey of service. So we need effective leadership and we need an effective plan. We know that everyone else, every one of us, can offer something. And we know that rebuilding begins at home. But I think the final heading this morning is just as important as the other three, if not more important. And that is that rebuilding this wall and Nehemiah's response to how it all went shows us that acknowledgement and recognition is so important. The first couple of chapters of Nehemiah, well, they focus on him the leader. But in chapter 3, he's not mentioned at all. Instead, it's each of the workers that are named. Nehemiah was recognising and approving the work of ordinary people. Inspired by God, he made sure that we knew the names of the people involved. Wouldn't it have been much easier just to say, well, a wall was built by lots of helpers? That would have been a much shorter chapter 3. But that would not have recorded the efforts of those willing to do the work. And for today, well, it's a reminder that God knows each of us by name. He loves and cares for us individually. And it's why he paid the price for you by name, by dying on the cross. He knows every contribution you're making to your part of the world, of the wall. And here at St. John's, we've got lots of people who are taking care of their part of the wall and helping others with their bits of the wall too. And we need to continue to acknowledge and thank them for serving God in the way that they are. So, as we close, a final challenge to us this morning within the context of this chapter. The world is full of people who are only too happy to be destructive. There are many who are obstructive. But for us to continue to build the walls of St. John's and of Birkdale, we need people who are willing to be builders of the wall, people who are constructive. So this morning, a question. Which part of the wall are we going to build? Amen.